I am, as was introduced, the Director of the Office of Minority Health and Public Health Policy within the State Health Department in Virginia. I have no financial relationships to disclose. During my presentation, I'm going to describe the role of the Virginia Department of Health, led by my office, in that the Health Department is taking to promote health equity and how we define that term and related terms as well. We'll talk about how my office integrates the functions of a State Office of Minority Health, a State Office of Rural Health, and a State Primary Care Office. And I'll give an overview of some of the strategies that we're using to promote health equity. Finally, I'll conclude by discussing some of the barriers, lessons learned, and opportunities that we've experienced and continue to address in our effort to promote health equity and social justice in Virginia. As I mentioned, our office is the State Office of Minority Health, as well as the State Office of Rural Health and State Primary Care Office. And this here is our vision and mission, which we developed. I've been in the position for the past 2.5 years, and during that time, we've done a lot of kind of strategic planning and reorganizing to really focus our efforts. Because of our roles, our efforts focus on the health of rural communities, as well as underserved, racial and ethnic minority, and low-income populations, as well as the disparities or inequities in health that these populations face. And we prefer, actually, we use the term health inequities versus disparities, as I'll kind of talk about some of the work we do. But inequities are really disparities that are systematic, avoidable, and as a result, considered unjust and unfair. And we are committed to promoting health equity, which we use the new Healthy People 2020 definition of health equity as achieving the highest level of health for all people, but with a particular focus on those who've experienced socioeconomic disadvantage or historical injustices, which really defines the populations that we primarily focus on. And we do this within a relatively small office of 14 staff, divided between two divisions. Our funding as an office is about $2.2 million, as you can see here, with about 38% coming from state general funds, 50% from federal grants primarily. These grants are really focused on our rural health and primary care work. Of note, we have no federal funds through the Federal Office of Minority Health, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as I go along. And then we also operate some healthcare provider incentive programs, which accounts for about 12% of our budget. This diagram kind of gives a pictorial, I guess, description of our office and how we look at the work that we do. At the base, we're really guided by our mission that we developed as an office. And then central to the work that we do is really a lot of data analysis, doing various types of research that are primarily focused on identifying the distribution of health, disease, access to care and providers, and also the distribution of the broader social determinants of health among different geographic areas and populations in the state. And this work really helps to more effectively describe the extent and the degree of health inequities in Virginia that really guides our work. And so our work then ultimately, guided by this data, is really focused on three areas. Again, one being access to quality health care and providers, one being focusing on the idea of healthy health policy as well as healthy public policy, and then also working to develop active and engaged communities that can promote health internally. And then that together then kind of leads to our vision of creating a Virginia in which we find health equity. As I mentioned, that data is an important part of what we do. One of the things that we've done since we've kind of reorganized as an office was we released the first health equity report for Virginia. Previously, there was a minority health report that our office produced. This new report expanded on that by looking more broadly at some of the social determinants of health and their impact on racial and ethnic minority, low income, rural, inner city, and medically underserved communities. It was guided by the principle that in addition to focusing on traditional strategies of access to care and behavior change, that we really have to start moving upstream and begin addressing, drawing attention to and addressing the social determinants of health in order to promote health equity. Just to give some examples of the kind of data that we included in this report, we looked at the prevalence of poverty in Virginia during 2007, and found that African-American children here in blue are three times more likely to live in poverty than others, and African-Americans as a whole, as well as Latinos, are twice as likely to live in poverty in Virginia. We also looked at a measure called double jeopardy, which is defined as living in a poor family within a poor community. And again, we found that African Americans are almost 13 times more likely to live in double jeopardy in Virginia. Latinos are twice as likely to live in double jeopardy in Virginia. We looked at, of course, life expectancy within a state by race and ethnicity. We weren't able to do that by any other socioeconomic measures, but again, we demonstrated the 4.5-year difference in life expectancy between African Americans and whites in the state. We also, for the first time, actually looked at overall age-adjusted mortality rates by educational attainment. So typically and traditionally, that had been done exclusively by looking at race and ethnicity, but we started to then look where these measures are available at educational attainment to demonstrate consistently with other findings around the country and around the world the kind of stepwise decrease in mortality rate as educational attainment increases. One of the other things that we've done since then, and which doesn't appear in this slide, is in the 2008 BRFSS survey, we for the first time added reactions to race module and the social context module, again, to provide data to demonstrate the impact of racism and the social environment on health behaviors and other outcomes. The report also used GIS and spatial analysis to study the distribution of health, disease, and social determinants. This map demonstrates in red census tracts around the state with mortality rates that are 25% higher than expected or greater. And then when we looked, kind of collected that data all together and looked at standardized mortality rate by census tract, we again found the kind of stepwise increase in standardized mortality as the neighborhood level poverty increases. So again, being able to demonstrate not only the individual level social determinants, but the neighborhood level social determinants and how they influence health. And so that was a big part of this report, and we hope to, as we get more and more into the data, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, be able to expand the report and look more in depth at various social determinants and their impact on health outcomes, and particularly the distribution of those social determinants, because when we talk about health equity, we're talking about social determinants of health, but we're also talking about how they're distributed among different populations. To go a little more detail in terms of some of the data work that we are doing, we have started to define what we call high priority target areas in the state, and this is primarily through GIS spatial analysis work, where we are again looking at various health outcomes, access to care measures, and clusters of adverse social determinants of health to define areas as high priority target areas based on those criteria. We're continue to kind of to expand the number of indicators that we evaluate for use, and our ultimate goal is to be able to develop a health equity index similar to some of the work that's being done in Connecticut, but on a statewide level that would combine traditional statistics as well as spatial analysis to get a better understanding of the distribution of disease and social determinants in the state. Just to give an idea of how this high priority target area data is done, we look at jurisdictional as well as sub-jurisdictional data going down to, well, with certain data sets, actually geocoding the locations of events and then aggregating that data either to the census block groups, census tract, sometimes to the zip code if necessary, and using various census level data as well as other databases to kind of categorize the, again, the distribution of health, disease, and social determinants within the state. This data is helping within the health department health districts and programs to target limited resources to the areas that are in greatest need for intervention. They're also helping as we try to raise awareness and really change the discussion about health disparities or health inequities to really demonstrate the links to these broader social determinants of health. We're also, this data is being used to help guide some community-based participatory research type approaches that we and others are involved in throughout the state by identifying areas that are basically high priority target areas, working with communities to better understand what's happening at the local social and environmental context to address the social, economic, as well as health issues that are present in the community. And this work actually guides the work through in the rest of our office within our two divisions, one being the Division of Primary Care and Rural Health, and then our other division is the Division of Health Equity. And I'll first talk about our Division of Primary Care and Rural Health, which is where we really administer our grants for the State Office of Rural Health and the State Primary Care Office. This division, kind of based on the grant guidance and some of the priorities, is focused on improving access to quality health care and providers in rural and other medically underserved areas in the state, with a focus on four barriers primarily, those of distance to care, provider distribution, service fragmentation, and cost barriers. Excuse me. One of the things that we do as the State Primary Care Office is to designate health professional shortage areas and medically underserved areas using the federal guidelines. And so we use our high priority target area analyses to do that by looking at not just jurisdictional level designation, so at the county or the city, but looking at census tracts and census block groups that, again, may be areas where there's especially, there's a greater unavailability of health care providers or health care services. And by using that high priority target area analysis, we're able to actually really identify the areas most in need and increase the score that's necessary to be designated. And so we've been very effective in designating areas by using this strategy. The division also administers several incentive programs to attract primary health professionals to the medically underserved areas. This is a combination of state and federal funds that are used to attract physicians, nurses, mental health providers, and others, as well as retain them in those locations. Our office also administers the Health Commissioner's Health Workforce Advisory Committee, which advises her on workforce issues around the state. Another project that we've recently gotten involved in is actually a state health access program grant from the federal government to establish a Virginia Healthy Small Business Initiative. This is basically a five-year, $15 million grant that will be used to provide insurance for employees at small businesses around the state who are particularly more likely to be uninsured. And it's really focused at those low to middle income employees who otherwise would not have access to health care. And we're currently at the very early implementation phase of this project. Another major area that we work on in terms of primary care and rural health is telehealth to help address the fragmentation of care in rural areas. We've partnered with the Virginia Telehealth Network and the Virginia Stroke Systems Collaborative to develop a model telestroke network called Virginia Acute Stroke Telehealth, or VAST, network. And this program basically links small rural hospitals to some of the major medical centers in the state through telehealth technology to provide consultations to potential stroke patients come into the hospital to reduce the amount of time to treatment to ultimately reduce complications and disability. And then finally, within this division, we are also have developed with other partners around the state a statewide rural health plan, which is a 3 to 5 year plan that's currently being implemented with about 50 partners around the state local and state level partners committed to promoting rural health that's divided into the areas of access, workforce, quality, and data and rural definitions. And while it started out primarily as a healthcare related plan, we've really expanded it so that it is looking more broadly at rural health in terms of issues at the community level, and social determinants are also being considered as a part of it. Within our other division, which is the Division of Health Equity, we place a greater focus on racial and ethnic minority issues, as well as looking more broadly at the non-medical determinants or the social determinants of health in efforts to promote health equity. And one of the things that we try to do is to really link the efforts within both of our divisions so that we're looking very comprehensively at health in, again, the populations that I mentioned that are really the priorities for our office, so that we can kind of build on the strengths that are within each division to promote health and health equity. One of the initiatives that we have is the Class Act Virginia program, which is our culturally and linguistically appropriate services program, which was actually recognized by ASTHO in 2007 as a very useful strategy that we have that focuses on culturally and linguistically appropriate care for racial and ethnic minority, immigrant, and refugee populations in Virginia. And some of the work that we do with Class Act, and more specifically, is that we have developed a culturally appropriate public health training series for that's focused specifically on staff within the health department to raise our awareness and cultural competency. We're also going to be expanding that this year to broaden to the ideas of cultural humility, as well as looking at organizational racism and classism within the health department to provide more effective care and services, as well as looking at the issue of health literacy. We also fund a program to a medical interpreter training grant program that is increasing the number of trained interpreters around the state to provide services within clinics. We've worked with some other partners, actually the Northern Virginia AHEC primarily, to develop a Navigating the U.S. Healthcare System curriculum for new immigrants and refugees. And we've also developed a language needs assessment for each health district within Virginia so that they can more effectively shape their materials and programs to address the language and cultural needs within their community. And this program continues to expand. There's also a very comprehensive website that provides a variety of services for all kinds of providers. One of the main things we've been doing within our Division of Health Equity is really trying to broaden the discussion and work around promoting health equity and addressing the social determinants of health with a strong focus on using community-based participatory research framework in developing community partnerships to address these issues. We've been doing work internally and externally. So within the health department, we've been working on developing and have developed a as a part of the agency's overall orientation. We've incorporated a module on culturally and linguistically appropriate services, as well as an introductory module on health equity and the social determinants of health, which we'll be expanding. Actually, I just learned about some resources today that I think we'll probably be adding to that. We've also been working directly with other offices, divisions, and local health districts within Virginia to help them build the capacity to promote health equity within their programs and locally. And so we've had several strategic planning sessions with some of the programs and districts and have provided ongoing technical assistance as well. As examples, we've worked with the statewide diabetes program, the statewide cardiovascular program, the health department's family planning program, the regional perinatal councils around the state, and as well as the Division of Women's and Infants Health, to help them incorporate a more comprehensive look at health equity and to figure out how they can address social determinants within some of the specific work that they do. At the community level, we've also used the PBS series Unnatural Causes, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with, We've used that quite a bit in terms of developing a train-to-trainer session and training, having several trainings around the state for people interested in using that. And we've also used that directly in communities with, and as well as with some other partners within the health department, to begin to discuss these issues to, and develop a better understanding. And then ultimately, though, it's to really lead towards action planning and how they can incorporate these concepts into the work that they do. We also have a fairly comprehensive website that provides a lot of resources and links to materials about promoting health equity, community-based participatory approaches, how to focus on the social determinants of health, and a lot of other issues that folks within Virginia are becoming more interested in. Within Virginia, we have a Commissioner's Minority Health Advisory Committee, which advises the commissioner on issues related to promoting health equity in particular. This group, there's similar groups around the country in at different states. Ours is not in the Code of Virginia, although some in other states are, but the members are appointed by the commissioner. They've gotten very involved with community engagement activities, using unnatural causes directly with the communities they represent, as well as starting to, statewide within Virginia, all of our local health districts are starting to use the MAP process, Mobilizing Action Through Planning and Partnership, which is a tool developed by, I think, CDC, APHA, NACHO. Was ASTHO involved with that as well? And it basically helps communities come together to around health, not just the health department, but the public health system, to look at how they can to identify and address health priorities within the community. And so MHAC is working with the districts to incorporate health equity throughout that whole process, so that we're really looking at the social determinants of health and other issues. They're also very involved in developing policy recommendations for the commissioner on state-level issues that address access to care as well as broader health equity issues. One of the recent grants that we received that we're currently implementing right now is one of the Healthy People 2020 evaluation grants. And this basically was put out by Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion to help them see how states are going to be using Healthy People 2020. And one of the advantages, I think, of Healthy People 2020 is that in its four overarching goals, in addition to promoting health and preventing disease, they are also looking at specifically promoting health equity, addressing the social determinants of health, as well as looking across the lifespan to promote health. And so all of these issues are critical to promoting health equity. So we were very excited about the opportunity to work on this. What our project will do is basically work with state government leaders within the executive branch, as well as in the General Assembly, to raise their awareness about health, Healthy People 2020, as well as the issue of health equity. And our goal is that, again, there's a specific focus within Healthy People 2020 on the social determinants of health. And our goal is that all of these state agencies, so we're talking about the governor's cabinet, all of the executive branch agencies, such as housing, transportation, health, of course, social services, economic development, and others, will incorporate at least one of the Healthy People 2020 objectives around social determinants of health into their agency strategic plans as a way, again, to link the work of these broader agencies and how they influence the social determinants as a way to promote health and health equity. We also are hoping our long-term goal is that it will lead into state. The state has a strategic plan called Virginia Performs, and again, we're hoping that this work will be linked into that, so that across the board, statewide, there will be a focus on health and health equity. I also didn't mention that we'll be working with the General Assembly as well, so their key finance and budget committees, the Committee on Minority Health, the Committee on Rural Health, and others, to raise their awareness and see how their policy decisions influence health to, again, hopefully in the long term, we're going to be continuing looking for funding to continue this process, but in the long term, the goal is that it will help to create healthy public policy within the state of Virginia. Recently, we completed, in conjunction with the Virginia Public Health Association and many other partners, including MENU with ASPO, a two-day health equity conference within Virginia, which was the first statewide health equity conference in the state, that we had originally planned for 300 registrants, and we had about 370 who registered, both within Virginia and outside of Virginia, and a few actually came from Canada to attend the conference. We had speakers such as Adewale Troutman, Howard Frumkin, Kamara Jones, Steve Wolf, and Paula Braveman, who talked over the 2 days about health equity, social determinants of health, social justice, healthy public policy, all of those key issues, as well as some of the local statewide efforts or within the state efforts that are going on that are along the lines of promoting health equity. So it was a very successful two-day conference. We're going to be following that up with developing a online social network for attendees within Virginia to continue to share resources, discuss, and coordinate work to continue to promote health equity. Another outcome of that conference is that we have applied with the Virginia Public Health Association to receive funding to give out basically seed grants to up to 10 communities around the state our goal is that they will, again, take the knowledge, the information that was revealed at the conference and use that to begin to bring together partners at the local level using a community-based participatory approach and to start to look at how to empower the community to address the broader social determinants of health. We will be providing ongoing technical assistance with the universities to create an ongoing learning community that hopefully can really build on the work of each other to help promote and sustain efforts to promote health equity. And so that gives a general idea of the work that we're doing. And I think along the lines, along the way, we've had some successes, but we've also learned a lot as we've moved forward and continued to address some challenges as we progress. One of the things that certainly affects everybody is limited funding. I think that there's a lot of work, particular around really expanding what the framework is around promoting health equity. A lot of work to be done and a lot of things that we could potentially do with partners around the state. There is limited funding. As I mentioned earlier, we currently have no funding from the National Office of Minority Health. They are able to provide, up until right when I started, they had RFPs out for state offices of minority health to apply for funding, a limited amount of funding. And we, unfortunately, have not been able haven't been successful in applying. Right when I started, we applied and we didn't get any money. But since then, they haven't had sufficient funds to offer money to new offices. So there's, in comparison to our role as a state office of rural health and a state primary care office, which all of those offices around the country receive ongoing yearly funding from HRSA to maintain their programs. And so there's clearly a difference in terms of the funding that's appropriated and available for the national office to provide in an ongoing manner to state offices of minority health. And so I think that's an area where I think there's definitely room for, again, a kind of a sustained stream of funding to the states to promote minority health and more broadly to promote health equity that currently does not exist. We've also had, I mentioned that our goal is really to integrate the work across our two divisions and among the three offices that we have within our office. And so that's certainly been somewhat of a challenge, but it also creates more opportunities for us to really link to existing resources and networks to kind of expand the work that we're trying to do. Another challenge that we've experienced is that a lot of times at the state level, when state decision makers think about health, their focus is really limited to access to care, which certainly is a critical issue. But as we all know, there's much more to health, in particular health equity, than simply access to care. And so one of the challenges is broadening that perspective and broadening the discussion. And we continue to try to do that. Certainly with the data that we produce, is one goal is to help broaden that discussion and raise awareness about the need for broader policy. And hopefully our Healthy People 2020 grant will move towards that direction. And then also, the other challenge that we face is when we start talking about health equity and looking at social determinants of health and issues of social justice, it becomes much more political. And certainly in a state like Virginia, with its history, there are challenges in doing that. And so we certainly have to navigate that system and figure out the best strategies to use in different situations. Of interest, there's one kind of nuance that I've noticed is that within Virginia, there's a lot of comfort, I think, particularly among policymakers, to talk about rural health issues and health disparities in rural communities. But there's very little willingness, I think, comparative to that, to talk about racial and ethnic health disparities, and in particular, the issue of racism. And so that's certainly just an example of an area where, you know, it's obviously critical that we discuss the issue of racism and that we demonstrate how it affects health. And so we build on the interest in rural health issues, and you know, our goal is to tie in the racial and ethnic and socioeconomic issues as well, but it's certainly an ongoing challenge. And then our most recent challenge along these lines is, of course, Virginia just had a gubernatorial election, and our outgoing governor, Tim Kaine, is the chairman of the Democratic National Committee and a good friend of President Obama. So we've had you can tell the environment that we've had. And our new governor is a somewhat conservative Republican. So we'll see. What's that? So we'll see how that changes the dynamics at the state in terms of the priorities, what the priorities for the health department will be, how we will have to go about, navigating that system to continue to promote health equity.
We need
compliment
support with New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for your time.